Can we join together in prayer? Lord God, we give you this time. I give you this time. Pray that you guide my lips. And I continue to pray that you are honored and glorified through this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm ready for Christmas to be over. I love Christmas, but I feel like that's all we've done this week, including things a couple nights ago and last night, and we skipped out on one, but I'm ready to move on to the next year. As much as I love family time, I'm ready for a little bit better routine. As I get going on this, I don't intend this to be a, hey, this is Steve Nelson's sabbatical, everything that happened in our trip, but a few lessons I think I've learned and things that God has continued to work on my heart. So there's going to be a few pictures up here and a few things just to share stories. So, yes, on the screen is a 1997 Winnebago Adventurer, 34 foot long, awesome little rig that we took to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and some few other places on the way back, and I'll share a little bit of that. But I loved it. My wife was blogging about our trip, and this was just the 3 weeks of our time off, but probably some of the focus that I'll have this morning. So as you look at this 20-year-old vehicle, it looks pretty good at those pictures. There might be a big crack on the windshield on the right side and had to replace a few tires that Reggie Tire said, you don't want to take that cross country. And anyway, it held out. But as I start up this morning, the question I want to ask you is, have you ever gotten so far down some path and you realize you just need to head back? Like you are going the wrong direction. If you continue to do the same thing, it's going to end real bad. Have you ever gotten, maybe it's just on a daily thing, some little trip you're going on, or even a few little decisions you're making in your life and realize on down the road, this is not going to turn out well. And that's what I want to focus on right away is choosing the right path. I'll get to Proverbs 7 here in a little bit. It's not going to be up on the screen, but our destination was Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We were going to spend a week there. Kids have never seen the ocean. I'm not even sure if my wife had seen the ocean. Maybe she had once. But we were going to stop by Noelle's pen pal that she has that she's never met in North Carolina, kind of in the middle of North Carolina and Greenville, maybe. I'm way off. Anyway, just details, part of the trip. But we decided, hey, we're just going to drive a whole bunch here, spend the night. We stayed in a Walmart east of Lexington, Kentucky. And then we're going to take the last 6 hours or so that would get us to North Carolina to surprise Noelle at her pen pal's house. And we said, well, there's this Daniel Boone National Forest. There's these covered bridges. We got to stop by there. This is going to be cool. And then we'll just keep going. Well, we get east of Lexington, and all of a sudden you start getting in some mountains, and we take the exit to go to this state park or national park. And as we're getting ready to turn in, it says bridge ahead, weight limit 3 tons. And the RV unloaded, I think, is 11,500 pounds, so nearly 6 tons. And obviously with all the gear, we were well over 6 tons. And I had to make the quick decision, we're not going down that road. That would not have ended well. And so we're on a 2-lane windy road, and I had to turn into this little gravel parking lot, and it's not easy to move a 34-foot motorhome, but we were able to find somewhere to get turned around. And then, again, what are we going to do now? Well, let's just go east. I bet there'll be something. And we had an atlas, and of course we had GPS on my phone, which will take you. Well, at some point once you get to the east, GPS doesn't work in some of these mountains. So we had the atlas, and like, well, that's a thick line. That's a 4-lane road. We're just going to go that way. Well, before long, we got to Pikeville, Kentucky, which I doubt anybody's ever been to Pikeville, Kentucky, but you've been there. That doesn't surprise me. Well, we got there and had to stop. You see, for about 5-10 miles before that, we'd be going up these mountain hills, and you got to get it in the right gear to just get over the top of the mountain, and then hopefully slow yourself down so you don't just go zooming down the next hill. And it seemed like as soon as we'd get over the top of these hills, there'd be a sign that would say, stop ahead, stoplight ahead, and we would hit every one of these stoplights, and you're just slamming on those brakes to try to slow this big vehicle down. And this happened several times, and before long, I just felt something kind of funny on the brakes. I was like, man, those are really starting to go down, and we almost got to Pikeville, and I kind of needed to stop and get gas, and I could just feel those brakes, they were going all the way down to the floor, and I didn't feel like I was braking. And I asked you this question about choosing the wrong path. I think we get a lot of warning signs in our life, and we start making some individual choices, and we don't necessarily realize that they're connected to one another, but we just continue to go down this wrong path. And we really need to stop. We need to recalibrate. We need to turn around and go back, but we continue to go. But so we stopped. I called Pastor Don. I said, here's the deal. I'm in the middle of nowhere. I actually pulled out of there, and I went up this hill and stopped in the school parking lot. And he said, well, we checked out some things, ended up taking out the whole, I think there's a doghouse, they call it. You take it off, and found a dealership, and they're like, what are you doing here? Got some more brake fluid. Thought maybe we just boiled out some of the water that was in there, and we topped it off and let it cool for a couple hours and just really took it easy. We were on our way, didn't have to stop, and didn't use my brakes a whole lot for a while, and ended up getting on the interstate, and I found out the interstate driving is a lot easier than some of these mountain roads. I see a few truck drivers and people with motorhomes that are like, duh, that's obvious. So I say that all as this was one of those big lessons I learned. On the way back, we had a much easier route. But how many times do we go down the wrong path? If you guys want to open up to Proverbs 7, this is a scripture that I'm not going to dive into, but I want to say it's about adultery and about a young man that gets caught into adultery. And I want to say maybe this isn't your struggle. Maybe there is somebody here that is going down a really bad path. But as you look at this and you look at how Solomon is viewing this, I'm looking at verse 6 right now. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. So he's observing everything that's going on right now. I love that music back there. He sees what's going on. And he just watches this whole thing play out. So I'm going to read a few of these verses. You can fill in the gaps later today. But again, whether we're talking about adultery, or we're talking about any other worldly sin, I think the scripture says a lot to us about choosing the wrong path. And are we going to see the warning signs and go in reverse, do whatever we got to do to get out of that situation? Verse 10 says, or verse 8 says, he was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night was setting in, then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. Verse 15 says, and this is her speaking, so I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. And she entices him. And she even goes as far, verse 19, to say, my husband is not home. He has gone on a long journey. It is just an open invitation to join in sin. Verse 21, with persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver. A lot of you guys know I love to deer hunt, and there's been a few occasions deer hunting where I've called a deer, there's been a buck, and you act like a doe, and you make this pretty little noise, and it just changes direction comes towards you, and then you're just like, bad decision. And that is what she does. She entices him. And it says her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. So I want to be really clear. As I reflect on 2017, as I reflect on what we all have to struggle with in this daily battle about sin, there's nothing that the devil wants to do than to steal your joy, than to tear you away from a relationship with God. Thief is coming to seek and kill and destroy. And if we don't recognize that, and as you reflect on maybe what's going on in your life, some of you know that you are going in a wrong direction. And you better take some huge steps back. Another verse I'll throw out there, it's up on the screen, is Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Sometimes we used to say this to our kids, you're getting the gimmies. Your heart is leading you astray. And we're going to get to the good part of that, and that is focusing on the truth. And sometimes our heart leads us astray. Well, for us on our trip, we end up making it just fine. We did not have another big mechanical issues. We had some issues with our generator that caused some discomfort with the AC not working on the road. But other than that, things went great. I want to share something with you, and this is one of the things that I've been reflecting on a lot, and I've started to reread this book. It's by Andy Stanley. It's called The Principle of the Path. And I'm not sure if I've shared this here before, but great book. And he's got a line in there that says, and it's really the focus of the book, and it says, our direction, not our intentions, is what determines our destination. And so when I talk about how the heart can be deceitful, a lot of times we can have good intentions, we can say our heart's in the right place, but then we continue to make daily choices that are going down a wrong path. And maybe it doesn't start off as a sinful path, so we say, the place I want to go is, and it has the question, what's the preferred destination, what matters most? This preferred destination that I want to go to is being more close in as a family, having deeper conversations. And then we buy our children a couple new smartphones, and we get ourselves a new phone. And just a little step, not a big deal. And then all of a sudden, we don't put a whole lot of boundaries on that stuff, and we slowly start to see that even though our hope is we're going to be closer as a family and we have these same phones that are really neat, all of a sudden we're not really talking as a family. And we are separated and we're doing different things because we can just be on our phones in our room. I say that like maybe it's a silly example, but I know it is true for a lot of people that technology has hijacked our family time. But our individual choices lead us to some direction. The path that we are on, if we continue on it, if we continue to make these daily choices, they are going to lead us to some destination. And so I say, as you look at 2018, what matters most to you? What really matters most? And then are you going to take the individual steps to make sure your direction is correct? Those are the questions that I've been asking myself. And so that Jeremiah 24:15 verse that was read, choose for yourself this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That is the destination that I want to do. I want to be a heartbeat of our family. It's what I desire out of a church is that, hey, we can choose a whole lot of gods in this world, but our household is going to serve the Lord. And I don't know what matters most to each and every one of you. It's all a little bit different. God's wired us differently. He's given us different passions, gifts. But as you look at the destination that you want to end up in 2018 or in the future, what matters most is that, are you taking those steps? Are you going to take those steps to go in that direction? Those daily choices are not isolated events. They all lead towards some kind of direction. So a few other things that I wanted to share that I think relates to all this. Next one is making the most of opportunities. This is something that's just been ingrained in my head. Here's the money tree that we were blessed with by this congregation right before we left. Gifts that were overwhelming to Ashley and I. But we get opportunities in our life, and maybe they're not just this big financial blessing or whatever, but we get opportunities to serve somebody, to stop on the side of the road and help somebody. And do we make the most out of all those opportunities? Ephesians 5:15-16 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Next picture has one of the biggest things, very basic, but focus on relationships. What really matters most for me, for our family, it's got to be relationships. So here's two pictures. This is Ohio Bob with my four kids. And you ask, why is he Ohio Bob? Because we didn't hardly even know his last name. We just called him Ohio Bob. The first day on our trip, we got to Myrtle Beach and in the afternoon and saw the ocean. It was neat. We were overwhelmed. Ashley and I were just seeing God's creation in the ocean. It's amazing. And then the next morning, I was just ready to make the most of opportunity. I'm going to go see sunrise. It's amazing out. We get over there, and on the beach in the morning, all these fishermen are out. There's like 20 fishermen just scattered out. They got one or two poles out. And I just talked to a couple of them, and I talked to Ohio Bob. And it was pretty cute, but Denver was by me. He's like, boy, do you like to fish? He's from Cincinnati, Ohio. You like to fish? And Denver's like, he's like, well, what's this? I don't know. He's just teasing him. And eventually he's like, well, take this pole, boy. And Denver took his pole and was holding it. And he has these casting nets. And so we learned how to, like, actually take these casting nets out in the ocean and throw them out. And he'd make fun of you if you didn't get a nice big circle. If it looked like a banana, he'd let you know that's a banana. And we'd catch these mullet, which then, mullet, is that right? And then if you, you'd put those on your hooks, these big 4-ounce weights and these 10-foot long poles. And before long, he would just fish on high tide because that was the best time to fish. Because he wouldn't have to walk way out. You could catch fish any time of day, but when it was high tide, you wouldn't have to walk out too far. And we started going out and seeing him. And before long, we got there, and he comes. I bought a fishing license for there, but he goes and he brings back a fishing pole for Denver and says, I want you to have this. And you got to see Denver holding a pole that is, this one might be 9 foot or I don't know. But these guys have 10 foot or up to 12 foot long poles. And here's Denver starting to fish for sea fish. This just doesn't happen all the time. And this was a guy that focused on relationships. He had his grandkids. He spends a couple months there during the late fall, goes back home, does his taxes. Back in the spring, he goes back and he spends time with his family all during Christmas. And then he's a landscape guy and he spends all summer doing landscape. Then he goes back down there. But this is a guy that just invests in relationships. Got Denver a pole. This next picture is, I think is the last morning. I know it's dark up there, but Denver caught this red drum. All the guys on the beach, they started to get to know us, and they're like, yeah, way to go. Unbelievable experience. But what I saw in the, there's so much more about Ohio Bob that I appreciate. He'd break out into some gospel song, just start singing. He was just one of those guys that you enjoyed being around. But then, as I look at my life, as we look at ours, how much are we just investing in relationships? How much are we pouring into one another? As I look at 2018 and what matters most as a pastor at a church, if I'm not spending a lot of time in relationships, I am missing the boat. As a family, if I'm not investing in my kids, investing in my relationship with my wife, I am missing the boat. I have one other picture up there about relationships, and again, this all goes along with experiences. We went to Sight and Sound in Branson, Missouri, kind of on the way back. Hard to hide that thing. I'd been downstairs on a Wednesday that the Mennonite women were down sewing, and I said, hey, what do I need to do? And there was several ladies that said, oh, if you're going to be in Branson, like, you got to go to Sight and Sound. And we did, and it was incredible. We went to this Moses play, and it's just experiences like that, that they blow you away. I don't know why I get emotional on that. What I want to say is, when we are on this path, on these journeys, so much we like to do things alone. As a guy, I like to make my own decisions and just, I can take care of this, it's fine. But then you start asking people, and it is amazing what God has in store for you when you start talking and starting to get to know people deeper, and you ask questions about what is better, what could be better for my desired future. When a young couple goes to a more mature couple. I guess I'm going to go say old couple, and says, how can I be a better parent? When a young woman, is trying to figure out where to go to college or what to do next, and they go to somebody older and says, can you give me some advice on this? It's amazing how the body of Christ, how people can lead and guide you. And so many of us are so stuck in just doing everything on our own. And we are missing God's blessings. From the very beginning of the Bible, God said it was not good for man to be alone. And so He created woman and He walked with him in the garden. And God designed us to be in relationship with one another. And as you go to the New Testament, there's all these one another commands. Love one another. Encourage one another. Bear one another's burdens. We're called to do this with one another. There's a couple scriptures up there that talk about relationships. Ephesians 2, Hebrews 10. Verse 19, Ephesians 2 says, you are members of God's family. You're no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all God's holy people. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Hebrews 10 talks about encouraging one another, not giving up meeting together. That is what the body of Christ needs to do. And that's, as I look at 2018, we've got to do more of it. Last thing, and maybe this is so basic, but we got to focus on truth. Again, this all goes back to that principle, the path, our direction, not our intentions, is what determines our destination. If we focus on our heart, we can get led astray. And I love people that have these huge hearts, but sometimes our hearts can lead us in things that are not of truth. So focus on the truth and focus on the truth. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Focusing on the truth, and that is Jesus Christ. John 8:31-36. Jesus said, if you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And it goes on. But as I look at 2018, I look at you all and what your 2018 might have in store for you. What really matters most to you? What's your preferred destination? And Jesus Christ needs to be center of that. He has gifted you and He's given you passions and desires that hopefully are a part of all that. But if you haven't accepted the free gift that Jesus gave to you, if you haven't accepted Him as Lord and Savior and actually want Him to be the director of your life, I invite you to do it today. I invite you to do it as you start off the new year. What really matters most? That's been going through my head over and over and over again. All these little daily decisions we make. Are we doing it all for the honor and glory of God? Are we doing it for ourselves? And am I going down the path that is going to lead me to the destination that I know God has called me to? And it's the same question for you all. Let's pray. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you how you died on the cross for our sins, because we continue to go down wrong paths. And God, I know there's unexpected circumstances that happen, and we don't understand them, and we may never understand them, and they pain us because they weren't part of our plans. God, I pray for those that are struggling with something that's been unexpected in their lives, that you will comfort them, guide them. But for all of us, I pray that you will help us look at the big picture, to focus on the destination that you want for us personally, you want for our families, you want for our church, and help us keep that crystal clear focus. God, because you have overcame death, you have risen from the grave, and you are coming back again, we want to be prepared, and we want to celebrate that we can live eternally with you in relationship. So as we close up today, God, may we sing a sweet, sweet song worshiping you. May we celebrate all that you are. And may we fix our eyes on you, Jesus. Lead and guide us as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen.